ethnic cleansing. Ethnic, in this context, is yet another euphemism. What we are seeing in Iraq is religious cleansing. The original usage of ethnic cleansing in the former Yugoslavia is also arguably a euphemism for religious cleansing involving Orthodox Serbs, Catholic Croats, and Muslim Bosnians.
I have previously drawn attention to the privileging of religion in public discussion of ethics in the media and in government. Whenever a controversy arises over sexual or reproductive morals, you can bet that religious leaders from several different faith groups will be prominently represented on influential committees or on panel discussions on radio or television. I'm not suggesting that we should go out of our way to censor the views of these people, but why does our society beat a path to their door as though they had some expertise comparable to that of, say, a moral philosopher, a family lawyer, or a doctor?
Here's another weird example of the privileging of religion. On the 21st of February 2006, the United States Supreme Court ruled that a church in New Mexico should be exempt from the law, which everybody else has to obey, against the taking of hallucinogenic drugs. Faithful members of the Centro Espírita Beneficiente Unyayo do Vegetal believed that they can understand God only by drinking Hoasca tea, which contains the illegal hallucinogenic drug dimethyltryptamine. Note that it is sufficient that they believe that the drug enhances their understanding. They do not have to produce evidence. Conversely, there is plenty of evidence that cannabis eases the nausea and discomfort of cancer sufferers undergoing chemotherapy. Yet the Supreme Court ruled in 2005 that all patients who use cannabis for medicinal purposes are vulnerable to federal prosecution, even in the minority of states where such specialist use is legalized. Religion, as ever, is the trump card. Imagine members of an art appreciation society pleading in court that they believe they need a hallucinogenic drug in order to enhance their understanding of impressionist or surrealist paintings. Yet when a church claims an equivalent need, it is backed by the highest court in the land. Such is the power of religion as a talisman.
17 years ago, I was one of 36 writers and artists commissioned by the magazine New Statesman to write in support of the distinguished author Salman Rushdie, then under sentence of death for writing a novel. Incensed by the sympathy for Muslim hurt and offence expressed by Christian leaders and even some secular opinion formers, I drew the following parallel. If the advocates of apartheid had their wits about them, they would claim, for all I know truthfully, that allowing mixed races is against their religion. A good part of the opposition would respectfully tiptoe away. And it's no use claiming that this is an unfair parallel because apartheid has no rational justification. The whole point of religious faith, its strength and chief glory, is that it does not depend on rational justification. The rest of us are expected to defend our prejudices, but ask a religious person to justify their faith, and you infringe religious liberty. Little did I know that something pretty similar would come to pass in the 21st century. The Los Angeles Times, 10th of April 2006, reported that numerous Christian groups on campuses around the United States were suing their universities for enforcing anti-discrimination rules, including prohibitions against harassing or abusing homosexuals. As a typical example, in 2004, James Nixon, a 12-year-old boy in Ohio, won the right in court to wear a T-shirt to school bearing the words, "Homosexuality is a sin, Islam is a lie, abortion is murder, some issues are just black and white." The school told him not to wear the T-shirt, and the boy's parents sued the school. The parents might have had a conscionable case if they'd based it on the First Amendment's guarantee of freedom of speech, but they didn't. Indeed, they couldn't, because free speech is deemed not to include hate speech. But hate only has to prove it is religious, and it no longer counts as hate. So, instead of freedom of speech, the Nixon's lawyers appealed to the constitutional right to freedom of religion. Their victorious lawsuit was supported by the Alliance Defense Fund of Arizona, whose business it is to press the legal battle for religious freedom.